Soul to soul, spirit to spirit.
Greetings of love from the island of Kauai. Easter 1981 is almost upon us. In just a few months, we shall reunite in the city of Monterey, California, and join hands and hearts on the other side of silence. During the past 2 or 3 months, there has been an upsurge of inquiries from Infinite Way students around the country. And one way or another, the word has been passed along that something is happening. And letters have come to us from beautiful souls in Florida, North Carolina, Kentucky, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Illinois, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Oregon, California, Hawaii, and even as far away as Germany. We are being united by the infinite love of spirit. It is saying to us, I am assembling my own. And while I say this, I can recall a few more letters from Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, probably others, that just keep pouring in, all saying, I want to live in my spiritual body. Some say, what is it? How large is it? How shall we recognize it? Where is it? Why is it so difficult to find? They're all important questions. And they all have beautiful answers. Perhaps we should be one of the few Infinite Way classes in the history of the Infinite Way that will meet with one purpose. To live in the God-given spiritual body daily until the blessed moment of total deliverance in which we are self-existent, independent of form, matter, material law. While we appear physically on this earth, it shouldn't be so startling that that is our motive, when that is the Christ teaching. There have been enough encouraging signs to show us that our work has been blessed. From the day we started working on community activities and world activities, right back to when there were attempts on the life of Gerald Ford up to the present, we have discovered that together we have a power to release the law of spirit into expression on this plane simply by knowing the truth, who we are, where we are, and what we should be doing to be about our Father's business. One of the most encouraging blessings that we have received lately happened on January 20th, 1981. The release of the hostages. And on January 27th, while Washington received these 52 Americans, the world saw only the physical appearance of 52 men returned from captivity. You and I must see much more than that. Isaiah would have said during the hostage crisis, "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" Paul would have said, "We are all one in the body of Christ." And perhaps Hezekiah would have said, "The Iranians have only the arm of flesh, but we have the Lord Almighty." All three would have been saying that there are not 52 American hostages, that there is one invisible, spiritual body, not of flesh, but of the substance of God. And their words would have been backed by their living consciousness of that truth, proven by them, demonstrated by them, again and again. We did not enter into group meditation to bring back the hostages. What we did do is join in the knowledge of one invisible body. To reject the mass hypnotism that separate individual bodies existed and had been captured. And to reject the sense appearance that one nation was defying another nation. Instead, we were standing indivisibly in our body of spirit, which is maintained perfectly and without interruption by divine law. And right where universal mind saw 52 individual bodies, it was our function to know that only the government of God and the spiritual body of God, which is the spiritual body of man, was there. Now, if you look back on the last 3 or 4 minutes of the first self-surrender tape, you will notice that in the instructions on the meditation for the hostages, we did not specify at any time that our purpose was to bring back the hostages. You will recall that that was exactly what Joel learned about his baggage. And when he ceased meditating to bring back the baggage, it was because he realized that in the spiritual universe, there is no material baggage. If you will listen carefully again to those 3 or 4 minutes, you will find there the realization that in the spiritual universe there are no material hostages. This is the essence of what you and I, functioning as one unit, one spiritual being, were attempting to realize. Surely there were individual experiences. I can only go for my own to know that many must have reached an inner conviction. Some may have heard the voice. Others may have seen a vision. Others may have felt an intuitive premonition. But for the 1 month that we lived together, in the knowledge that they have only the arm of flesh, that we are all one in the body of Christ, that we must cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, that we must be one with God, one with Spirit, from that moment on, we were living in New Jerusalem, and we were being faithful to the presence of one infinite Spirit without opposite. Sometimes in a high purpose, we are lifted beyond our normal capabilities. We seem to require that motivation. That's why sometimes it's more difficult to heal the illusion of a cold in the nose than it is to stand before a hurricane or an exploding mountain or a tidal wave or an epidemic or the lack and limitation that so many of us have felt at one time or another in the world of matter. That motivation, that great purpose, when it stirs within us, somehow we feel ordained to rise to the occasion. We forget ourselves. We lose all our normal sense of personal limitations. We feel the call of the infinite. And it responds to our willingness to recognize it. And it breaks the hypnotism. That infinite Father within doeth the works. And so large or small, seemingly impossible or relatively simple, always we have no human capacity to defy material law, and that is shown by the inability of governments to live together. The governments of the human brain are always in conflict or crumbling overnight. But when you find your spiritual universe, when you learn to live daily in your spiritual body, you come under the government of God instead of the government of man, instead of the government of germs, instead of the government of material limitation. Karmic debts are broken. The law of heredity is broken. The environment is controlled by an unseen hand. The divine life within your divine body establishes the law of perfection in the midst of every form of discord. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. When you are my son, when you stand in your God-given spiritual body, for that is the secret place of the Most High. So I thank all of you who joined in this great experience. We're not going to accept any credit of any kind. We're not going to get overconfident and cocky. We're not going to go out boasting to the world what mighty spiritual muscles we have. But rather we should, quietly, with fingers to the lips, know that we have been blessed by a great inner experience to know that the living presence of God is the only power in this universe, and that the appearance of other powers depends totally upon our ignorance of this presence. We should remember now that the spiritual body, which man has ignored, is the key to transition from dying flesh. It is the key to salvation, the key to eternal life. It is the God-ordained way to walk now in your Father's kingdom on earth, enjoying the fruits of the Spirit. And if through this experience you have gained some confidence, some trust in your own spiritual identity, and the power of that identity to function when there is no human standing there in the way, then we have achieved a major step in our ongoing spiritual progress. You are going to need that confidence if you intend to break the universal hypnotism that man lives in a dying form. Hopefully, in the last two self-surrender classes, you have been able to reach an inner agreement that if you learn to live in your spiritual body, you will overcome this world and the limitations and horrors that appear in it to restrict man in his effort to worship God correctly. Let me now reassure you that your acceptance that you do have a spiritual body, and that it is here, and that it is available, is reinforced by scripture on every page. There are teachings so dramatic, so graphic, that when you open your heart to them, and see them with the inner eye, you can feel without doubt that the ever-present, ever-living consciousness of the Eternal Father is constantly pointing out to you the truth about your eternal self. We've done this once before, and now with your knowledge of your spiritual body beginning to come to a higher degree of awareness, with your capacity to live in it to some degree, and your willingness to leave your nets of matter and step out further into your spiritual body, just make this little test. I'm going to give you a picture of an event in your Bible. And I want you to know that every picture is an outer representation of a consciousness. Something within that consciousness of that individual or group of individuals in the Bible is sending forth a picture. And that inner consciousness appearing to you as a picture, as a message, which you can look at and interpret without the slightest doubt once you are aware of the invisible spiritual body of mankind, which has been overlooked these many centuries. Look at Lazarus. Just the picture, no words. Into a tomb he goes, dead. Out of a tomb he comes, alive. Just see the picture. A man is brought into a tomb, pronounced dead, left there for 4 days. A man walks out of a tomb, alive. What is the picture saying? Change bodies. Change bodies. Get out of the mortal body, the material body, the eventual dying body. Get into the body that lives, the spiritual body, which is under divine law. That's Lazarus, changing material body for a spiritual body. It was done inside his consciousness. And you are privileged to see in the visible the result of that inner change in consciousness of one who accepted his living spiritual body. That's the purpose and the meaning of the picture. I am standing on a cross, said Jesus. Now watch the nails. Rap, tap, rap, tap. Now what's the message? What's the message in that picture of men tapping nails into the wrists of the one who for us represents the perfection of God in every man? The message becomes clearer as you think about the spiritual body. The nails cannot touch the spiritual body. The nails cannot enter the spiritual body. The bullet cannot enter the spiritual body. The germ cannot enter the spiritual body. You are watching the crucifixion of an illusion. You are watching the spirit crucify an illusion in front of you to show you the unreality of the human body. You are watching the spirit show you that where the human body appears, the spiritual body is alive and needs no defense of any kind. Thou couldst have no power over the spiritual body. Abraham, he lifts his son. He is about to throw him in the fire. He loves his son, and you know it. And now he stops. That's the picture. He lifts his son to throw him into the flame. He stops. What does the picture say? That is the inner consciousness of Abraham revealed. His realization of the invisible spiritual body. The old way of sacrifice to a god of wrath was broken. The knowledge of one invisible perfect self told him that this in his hands, that had been the old idea of who his son is, that had also been the old idea of who he was. Two separate bodies of human flesh, but now he had the vision of one invisible perfect body. Nothing to sacrifice, only to realize. My spiritual body and the spiritual body of my son and the spiritual body of God are one and the same. One undivided spiritual body without opposite. There were three men in a furnace. Behind them was a golden body. The flames did not kindle upon them. What does the picture say? Three men, but only one golden body behind them. Why not three bodies? Because the invisible spiritual body is the body of all. That invisible spiritual body made visible was the picture to tell us there is one spiritual body, and when you live in it, the flames will not kindle upon you. What flames? The flames of atoms, the flames of bombs. Anything of any destructive nature in the universe cannot kindle upon your spiritual body. It needs no defense. Do you read the pictures? What is the picture of John the Baptist? Who says, I must decrease, he must increase. What is he saying? What is that inner consciousness revealing? What is the decrease? What is the increase? John the Baptist, man of flesh. Jesus Christ, the spiritual body of the Father.
In each of us, this realization that I, the physical self, am John the Baptist and I must decrease. In each of us is the spiritual body of the infinite Father. and it must increase in our recognition. Jesus and John the Baptist, standing together, represent the human body and the spiritual body. One dies, one is eternal.
And behind both is the one spiritual body, which is why Jesus could later say, Elias has been here. Which is why in Transfiguration we could see the body of Elias, known on earth in the flesh also as John the Baptist. The spiritual body is always perfect, always under divine law, always maintained by God, always needs no defense. You don't need an atom bomb shelter for it, or a bulletproof vest. You don't need surgery for it. It never has high blood pressure or arthritis. It can never be infected by cancer. It is not a mythical body. It is not only your body, but you will learn that it is your only body. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Paul at Damascus realized the invisible body of spirit. Joshua at Jericho realized the invisible body of spirit. Moses in the wilderness realized the invisible body of spirit. Jesus on the cross realized the invisible body of spirit. The great prophets, the seers and sages, living in their spiritual bodies, brought us the word that we too are one in the infinite spiritual body called the body of Christ. That is your only body. At the Last Supper, we have the picture of Jesus breaking bread and saying, "This is my body." One whole loaf distributed to all who were present. And if 4 billion had been present, it would have been distributed to 4 billion. And he would have said, "This is my body. And your body." For we have one infinite spiritual body. You must live now in that spiritual body so frequently that when you are not living in it, you do not feel right. Just as if you were a fish and came out of the water, you would feel, "I've got to get back to the water." And just as now, as a human being, if you get into the water, you've got to come back onto the land. So we must live in our spiritual body sufficiently so that no matter where we go, we always want to return to that spiritual body until we no longer have to go out. Until until, like Abraham, we are told by the Father, now walk before me. Walk in your true spiritual body as my image and my likeness. Be my son. 24 hours of every day. Don't be my part-time son, because I am not a part-time God. Be my full-time son by living in your full-time, ageless, deathless, spiritual body. Can any of us doubt that is what Scripture is all about? The great mistake of religion has been to believe that a man was crucified and then resurrected. When the glorious message of value and importance to everyone who walks this earth was and is that Christ on the cross represents the illusion of human form and the presence of one divine, deathless body of spirit for all men. It was not a command. It was a revelation. It was not a demand. It was the living will of God expressing, revealing, showing, exposing, inviting, loving mankind and saying, I have given you my infinite body. Why die? Why suffer? Why shorten the arm of God? Why invite all the horrors and abnormalities that we see in the flesh? Why walk in individual bodies that are without divine protection, that are clearly not under divine law? Why insult God by believing that evil and sickness and sin can exist where God is? Why call God impotent by believing that cancer can strike where God is? Why think God is without power and without love by believing that there can be people suffering in hospitals where God is? When the message is, change bodies, cease ye from man of flesh, walk before God in his image and likeness in your spiritual body. Leave your nest of physical flesh. Follow the way shower. The Son of God does not live in a dying form. until you accept and live in your ageless, deathless, perfect spiritual body, you are rejecting the gift of God, the love of God, the power of God, the substance of God. And you are actually declaring that infinite spirit is not your source and is not your identity. And you have cut yourself off from your own permanent self. That is how every person on earth rejects God, by clinging to a body of flesh that can never please God, and rejecting the wonderful teaching of Christ Jesus that God has given you his perfect body of spirit to live in now and forever. Find the core of your consciousness and rest there. Go deeper, deeper than mere sense awareness of being present in a room. Deeper, much deeper. It is important for you to know why mankind has not realized the presence of its infinite spiritual body. I feel that unless you are certain that you understand why, it has remained outside the realm of our experience, largely that is, except for those who from time to time have made the discovery of the divine body. If you know why, I am quite certain the method of breaking the hypnotism of the senses will be clarified. And because there are so many infinite way students now with us who may not have heard this, and some who may have forgotten, we must now look at the secret of secrets, which is within the first 34 verses of the Bible. Just keep at your center, at the core of your consciousness while we discuss this. In the first 34 verses, we are given the secret of hypnosis. The secret of why the Bible says that man is dead or asleep or unconscious or unaware or separated from God or a prodigal or words of that nature. We are today living in the fourth world, or the fourth world of consciousness, the thought realm, the mind realm. It is the fourth world. It is the fourth day in the Bible. In that fourth day, in which we live, spiritual man has not yet been created. In the sixth day, which is 2 degrees of consciousness above our present level, spiritual man is created or conceived. Now, one of the mysteries of these 7 days of Genesis has been why. It is there, and what it is saying, and also why. We start with darkness of the night and move into the lightness of the day. There have been many theories about it. But I would like you to accept one, or consider one, which may be quite different than a mere theory. The 7 days of Genesis are the return journey of your soul from the seventh day to the void or nothingness. That's the descent of your soul as it makes its orbit from the seventh day to nothingness, to the zero point, the nadir. And then from the nadir, it rises back to the zenith, moving in these seven steps of consciousness. And this soul ascension from the void to the seventh day is the ascension of your soul, which is described in those 7 days. When you start with the first night, that is because your soul is in the darkness of the night, working its way back to the light of the seventh day, and it goes from darkness to light. It enters its mineral consciousness. It goes through the vegetable kingdom. It comes into the animal kingdom. It rises to the human kingdom. In this fourth world, in this material world, you are not, as a human being, the man or woman created in the sixth day of Genesis. And it is at this point that the soul and the flesh must be in some way reconciled. This is the cause of universal hypnotism. The soul, seemingly, enters the fourth world, the material realm, the mind realm, and a new false consciousness is created, which thinks of itself as the Son of God. Looks down at its body of flesh with a brain of matter, not realizing that this is a consciousness outpicturing a form. It is not a body. It is consciousness outpicturing an image. And this outpicturing of an image by consciousness, that consciousness called my body. And this is the story of the prodigal son. It has only gone to the fourth level of consciousness, and it now calls itself the Son of God. Unaware that what it calls the Son of God is but a dying image called human flesh. The evolution of your soul to the fifth day, the sixth day, where you are conceived, to the seventh day, where you are actually the living Christ, must be continued. And it cannot be continued until you break the hypnotism of the fourth level of consciousness. And there are many ways to break that hypnotism. At this point, one of the most important is to know that the body of flesh, which is outpictured by your fourth world consciousness, is not you. You are the soul making its evolution
And when you can make the sacrifice of recognizing your soul rather than your body of flesh, and accepting on faith your invisible body of spirit, which already is in the sixth level of consciousness, then your soul will be permitted to move upward. And the hypnotism of the five senses will be broken. And you will no longer be under the law of matter, the law of limitation, the law of lack. You will be doing the equivalent of Jesus on the cross. You'll be saying, I am not in this form. The nails cannot touch my spiritual form, nor can the diseases, nor can death, nor can age. That truth has the power to release you from bondage to a temporary body of dying flesh. And that knowledge has the power to make possible your transition by releasing your soul into its upward progression, into its home base called the seventh day, which is the eternal city of life. You are being called upon to cooperate consciously with your ascending soul. To let it return to its highest level, which is called Christ consciousness. To its eternal glory. To its spiritual body, to its realization of divine selfhood. And that knowledge that your soul is evolving, ascending, upward, in awareness, that is your key to learning how to live now in your spiritual body. Because you are already the immaculate conception of God. You don't have to become immaculately conceived. You are the immaculate conception. You are the individualization of God. And in its orbit of infinity, your soul is simply returning to its full realization of you as the Immaculate Conception. Your soul at this point must break the illusion that you are born of woman. And that is why Jesus had to be immaculately conceived into this visible fourth world. He had to come in as the Immaculate Conception, because that is the seventh level which is drawing you upward. And Jesus visibly is not Jesus, but is the Father who doeth the works. Jesus is the seventh level of consciousness, infinite spiritual selfhood. Revealing itself to man as the Immaculate Conception, because that is the identity of every man. Every man, every woman, every child is conceived immaculately already before the world was. in a one perfect spiritual body of the Father. And now divine love sends forth the Christ to welcome your soul. And this is the prodigal son returning home. You, the Immaculate Conception of God,